Hello and welcome back to the 20-Sided Podcast. My name, as ever, is Brian Flaherty, and I am your Dungeon Master. I'm joined once again by our three fabulous players. Say hi, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
We've got Abby Hepworth.
Howdy.
We've got Chinook Tessera.
Howdy.
And we've got Noah Gepstad.
Howdy.
Ooh, we hate it. All right, everybody, on the count of three. One, two, three.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Yuck.
Howdy.
Yuck. There's no way to fix that in post. It's just gonna be bad.
Getting the raw audio.
Ooh, yuck. Yuck, yuck, yuck. Oh, yuck. No,
oh,
no,
I'm gonna have nightmares.
ASMR.
It's my new character, Ghost Cowboy.
Yes, Noah has abandoned Sienny and is coming to you as a new character, the ghost that's been haunting.
Sienny passed away in the night peacefully. He's now a ghost. He's now ghost.
Natural causes.
We won't mourn him in the episode. We're going to move right past it.
Yep.
And introduce this horrible character.
He just melted into the ground.
Back from whence he came.
I love it. Y'all ready to play some D&D?
Big time.
Yes, please.
Last time on Prisoners of the Static. You rushed to the bottling factory to help Number Two contain a group of fear wraiths that had escaped due to the remaining imbalance in the village, resulting from Number 22's dread that was still uncalibrated. You arrived at the bottling factory to find four of these shadowy specters circling Number 22, threatening to possess him and drive his fear to consume him. Springing into action, Natasha flew into a rage and attacked, but her mundane attacks were less than effective against the wraiths, and one crashed directly into her, possessing her, forcing her to attack her friends while attempting to probe her mind for her fears. Realizing the wraiths were targeting Number 22, Yaksha provided covering fire, while Sienny transformed into a California condor, so beautiful and benevolent, and flew Number 22 away from the fray. Boris struggled to free Natasha from the wraith's possession, but was unable to do so despite his many flurious attempts. Flurious, not furious, flurious. Sienny cast a greater restoration spell on Number 22, which seemed to alleviate some of the black wisps of dread emanating from his body. But moments later, Number 22 was knocked unconscious and possessed by a fear wraith. Now unconscious, Number 22 was in grave danger of falling prey to his fears. The wraith-controlled Natasha took up position to guard Number 22 while the possession was taking effect. But Boris was finally able to use his key-empowered strike to expel the wraith from Natasha before leaping off her shoulders and destroying it with his magically infused strikes. But with time running out for Number 22, Sienny rushed to retrieve some pure joy from a nearby container and poured it down Number 22's throat. The joy forced the wraith out, and before it could attempt to repossess anybody, Sienny splashed it with more of this pure joy, sending it careening off into the glassworks before meeting its end from a pair of Yaksha's arrows. With the wraith destroyed, you revive Number 22, who immediately recoiled from Natasha and from Number 2's demand that he be calibrated. Number 22 pleaded with you to keep him away from Number 2 and to make sure he did not drink any joy, lest he be stuck here forever like his former companion, Number 10. Yaksha promised that he would get him out of there, but Number 22 asked if you had managed to find a token that would allow you to escape. Number 2, intrigued as well, echoed his question, "Yes, have you found this brass ring?" As you contemplated how to answer, the sounds of the village seeped through, and you heard the sound off in the distance of a band warming up, practicing for tomorrow's carnival and the grand opening of the carousel. Standing in the middle of this bottling factory, glassworks all above you, this like crazy menagerie of tubing with different liquids kind of flowing through it at fast rates into these large canisters all around you. There's a large part of this building that is cracked and damaged from this previous explosion. In front of you on the floor, Number 22 lays on the ground, still frightened, like moving away from Natasha, trying to move away from number two, who is looming over him a bit. And looking at Natasha, yes, have you found this brass ring?
No. We do not have a brass ring.
Go ahead and roll a deception check.
Okay.
I will give you advantage because you worded it to not be a direct lie.
Okay. That's a 14 minus 2 is a 12. And then the next one is again a 14 minus 2 is a 12.
Okay, he rolled a natural 4, so he does not perceive it right away.
But you are looking for this item, yes?
What does this item do?
It is an item of great importance to number one. If you find it, I would like to be made aware.
Well, the same goes for you. It is of great importance to us. If you find it, we want to know.
Why is it of great importance to you if you do not know what it is?
Because it is of great importance to you.
That is fair. Okay.
You trapped me with the logic. I can't, that's true.
However, number 22, I understand you. I can see clearly that you are not calibrated. We need to take you, get you properly calibrated.
Number 22 immediately recoils back. No, please, please. And he's like grabbing onto Natasha despite his kind of fear. Like he grabs onto her, kind of like recoils a bit, but then like still moves behind her.
No, please, please don't let him take. I don't want to be stuck here forever like her and like everyone else in this goddamn village.
This is his, the wisps are gone, no?
When you guys fed the joy to him, you saw the wisps dissipate, but not diminish entirely. In the same way that Boris like needed two draughts of joy to get the wisp to vanish completely, you saw them diminish, but not completely disappear. Number 22 behind just goes,
you guys, please don't. No one should be drinking this shit if you want to get out of here, okay?
What does drinking this do?
It turns you like them. And he points to number 10. He goes, she was normal for a while. I kept her normal for as long as possible, and then it got to her. You drink enough of it, and that's what you become.
What do you mean become? Like, just indoctrinated? Like, is there something happening that we're not seeing?
Excuse me. I don't understand. This man is not part of your crew. Will you please move aside? Let me get this person calibrated. You agree that this is important that we protect the village. You saw what could happen if even one person was miscalibrated. He needs to be properly calibrated. I don't understand what is happening here.
Don, can we just, we're having a quick little sidebar really quick.
I kind of have a plan.
Huh?
That's unhinged.
Distract Don really quick to like bide us some time, like to actually like before Yaksha like says the plan, can I try and bide us some time to like not have prying eyes? Because it feels like Don Trax is like looming over us.
Yeah.
Do we have our giant spider still?
Oh, yeah. Giant spider's still there. The giant spider is in the corner.
I absolutely use giant spider as like at a moment at a party when you're talking to somebody and you don't necessarily want to talk to them. And I'm like, my drink's empty. But like, have you met I do that with the giant spider to Don. Like I introduce them and I know the giant spider. I'm just like really like alley-ooping them to like just talk Don's ear off.
The giant spider kind of sidles up to you. You kind of like rest your arm and the giant spider goes,
I'd love to spin a web in you. Hey, baby, how's it going?
Oh, Don, have you met I'm sorry. It's been such a busy day. Your name again is?
You can call me anything you like, sugar.
Oh, my.
Dr. Webber.
You can call me anything. I walked into that one, I guess. Okay. I'm Dr. Weber, baby. How's it going?
Wait, what's your actual name?
Angelica.
Dr. Angelica Weber. This is Don Taraxa. He's one of our best friends. I got to go just to check on something really quick. But Angelica, you were telling me about, you were telling me about, I don't know, there was like this cocktail with fennel pollen in it or something.
Oh, yeah, you can do it with fennel pollen, and you mix in a bit of honey with bourbon. Right, okay, right, so here's what we do. Oh,
yeah, break it down for him, because I know it. I know exactly front and back, but I don't think he knows it from, like, the minutiae. Even, like, honestly, Don, don't get him started on the history of where flavors come from, and especially, like, which societies really, like, develop those flavors and how, like, the spice trade. I mean, he you guys can get into it, but I'm going to actually go over here.
Well,
and then I leave
them. Go ahead and roll a... I'll let you choose. You can do deception, performance, persuasion. I'll let you roll with advantage because you're using your spider.
I'll do deception.
Okay.
A 12?
12 total. Okay, he's going to roll a an insight check. Wow, rolled a natural 2.
Yeah.
You see number 2 kind of go off with the spider. Oh yeah, so you mix some, like, some bourbon in with a little bit of honey, you know, for the sweetness, then some fennel pollen, and then you do a cardamom pod, and he goes, wait a minute, you mix honey with the bourbon? This is interesting. I've never done this.
It worked.
We come back. Stay there. We obviously need to get this calibrated, but I want to hear this for my evening drink. You guys have a few moments to, like, kind of get your shit together before Don, like, this is only buying you like 30 seconds.
Okay. Here's the plan. Number 22, you run away. We'll chase you down, and then I'll disguise myself as you, and we'll come back and pretend as if I'm you. And also I'll ask Don Taraxa to give me some dread to calibrate you. So it'll be like, we caught him and we forced it down your throat. You go back to the ship with Boris.
Oh, I
love this plan. I love this plan so much.
Go ahead and roll a persuasion check with advantage.
I was like, who's he persuading? Cool. We're clearly on board, but it's 22. 22.
A nat 20. He just.
I rolled 2 3s. So that's a 9 total.
I don't know who you are. Like, this one threatened me. I'm pretty sure she's the one that stole my shit. Okay, so
I did not steal. You dropped your book. I pick it up and then I plan to bring it to you, but you are hard to find.
Okay, I'm just gonna go. Like, you guys do whatever the hell you want. I'm just gonna leave now, okay? It was nice meeting you. Good luck. Goodbye.
We have same goal. We want to escape.
Do you know where a token is? Do you know where a brass ring is? Because if you don't know, then you don't mean anything to me, okay?
I know.
What do you mean, you know?
We do. I will tell you, we have to meet up later. We have very few seconds. You run, we do Yaksha plan, and then we meet up later. Where do you meet?
The topiary maze.
This works for me.
It's easiest to get there just dead of night. Call it midnight. Let's meet there at midnight.
Okay, well, you better start running.
Fuck! He takes off. As he takes off, he, like, trips. Don Taraxa, number 2 spins back and goes, hey, what? Get him!
Hey, where you going?
Hey, wait!
Yaksha goes, Don, do you have some dread on you?
Do you have some, you mean joy?
Joy, yeah. Like, whatever it is to calibrate him, give me some.
Yes, of course. He tosses you a, like, a little vial, like this big. Cool. I indicate this big for the listener. he tosses you like a small, like, beaker, little vial thing. You grab it.
Yeah, I go, guys, let's go track him down quickly. And then we start running after him.
Go ahead and roll me a deception or performance. I'll let you do. This is to convince number 2 not to call his own trackers, like, to think that you are capable enough to do it and that you're on his side.
Are we doing a group check or...
I'll let you do a group check, yeah.
This is deception or?
I would say deception, yeah.
And we all only get to roll once, right?
I get a, I got a 17.
17?
Piss. I got an 8.
8?
I got an 11.
Okay, so 17, 8, 11.
Can Boris run? I mean, roll?
Sure, go and roll for Boris.
Okay. Oh, Boris got a nat 1.
You guys,
we forgot to loop Boris in on the plan.
Boris, go home, Boris.
But Boris starts running out after you. You guys start running off. Number 2 goes, don't worry, I'll help you out. He clicks the pocket watch and 3 of the orbs rise up and begin to chase after number 22 as well. We're not going to roll initiative for this. This is going to be essentially like a skill challenge. So you guys are trying to, like, catch number 22,
hide him in a way before these orbs find him. So you're trying to execute your plan, but now there is a chase element happening to it. Number two is slower than you guys. He only has 25 movement, so he's not going to come out. Number two.
Okay.
Number 22, actually, as a halfling, is also slower than you guys. He's running at 25 feet per round. So he starts darting. These orbs are flying next to you. The only one that can keep pace with them, they have a movement speed of 40. Natasha has movement speed of 40. Sieni, I believe, is 35. And Yaksha, I believe, is 30.
Yeah.
Boris, I want to say, is like 60 or something nuts.
Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to do this as essentially a skill challenge, okay?
This is fun.
This is going to be kind of played like death saving throws. You've got to get to three successes before you get to three failures.
Okay.
I'm essentially going to narrate what's happening. I'll give each of you in turn a time to like try to change the outcome of things, to try to either slow down the orbs or to try to assist number 22 or to try to confuse them. So Yaksha, if you want to like try to cast Disguise Self and confuse them, you can try that. But we'll go around. So you guys begin booking. Number 22 is racing towards the topiary maze. You see him like off in the distance. He's got a few seconds head start. These orbs pop up behind you and begin to go. You guys racing past them. Who wants to take the first like run to try to change the tides here?
I think Natasha's the fastest, so she's probably sprinting with the intention of kind of like scooping up 22 and then hopefully dodging somewhere, but I don't know where.
Yeah, with your feline agility, you scoop up number 22. Whoa, hey, what the fuck? you have number 22 on your shoulders. The three orbs begin to like move towards you. What do you do?
Can these orbs go through like solid matter? And also, is it the kind of thing where like, do they see their prey or do they just like sense where it is? Can you hide from them?
You know that Yaksha was able to like hide, like when he went behind the wall of fire.
And like confuse them.
You don't think they see, but you do think they perceive.
Okay.
And as far as moving through walls and stuff, like they rise up out of the ground. So you sense that they can probably do it. What you don't know is if that slows them down.
Right. I think I'm going to scoot. Natasha scoops. And then she was going to dodge into the nearest alley.
Okay, you dodge to a nearby alley. You begin to weave through these different alleyways, like moving through bungalows and buildings. Go ahead and roll a... Go ahead and make whatever you think this check should be.
I mean, I want it to be like strength, but that doesn't actually make sense. I think it's probably like an acrobatics to like scoop him and keep... Like parkouring my way through alleyways.
Sure, go ahead and make me acrobatics check, DC 15.
Okay. Fuck. It's a six.
Six, that's the first fail. You begin to move through these alleyways.
Dice are not my friend.
But as you begin to move through these alleyways, you realize your friends behind you have lost sight of you. Sieni and Yaksha, as you guys are moving behind, Boris, you see jumping up on rooftops trying to keep track of Natasha. She's kind of shouting to you, hey, guys, I she's over this way.
Natasha's scooped him, presumably, right? And is sprinting here. Can I throw the joy to Sieni? And then can we like turn into a corner? I cast Disguise Self as 22 and then Sieni will like be holding me down, pouring the joy into my mouth as the globs kind of come through.
Okay. So you toss the joy to Sieni. You guys turn around a corner, trying to like, you guys get ahead of these trackers real quick. You turn the corner, you quickly cast this guy's self, casting you as number 22. Sieni, you bend over Natasha and pour this joy down Yaksha's throat. And just be clear, you're actually drinking it. You're actually going.
Could we tag team this idea?
Do the OG plan.
If you don't want to drink it, I could cast Create or Destroy Water as it's entering your mouth.
Let's do that
and evaporate it.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay. What we'll do here is, as you turn the corner, Yaksha, you turn into number 22. You like trip purposefully. Sieni dives on top of you, plugs this thing into your mouth. You feel the joy like beginning to hit your lips as the spell arrests on it, and it like almost turns to dust in your mouth. I'm gonna say, Yaksha, as you see these tracker orbs turn the corner, go ahead and roll a deception check.
Okay.
I'll say you can roll it with advantage because Sieni is essentially helping you.
Let's go.
That's a good one. Let's see if I do better.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's 218, so dirty 20.
Damn.
Dirty 20, ooh. Exactly the DC for this.
Oh my God.
Let's you, go. You turn the corner. These orbs come around. They see what they think of number 22 being fed this vial. The second thing I need is a deception check from Sienny.
It is.
They're perceiving this. This is to trick them to think that he has actually drunk the vial. This is gonna be easier. It's gonna be DC 15.
Okay. And what was the deception?
Deception, unless you think there's a different skill. I think it's deception, but if you can convince me on something else, I'll let you do it.
Brian, that's gonna be a 21.
You plug your hand over top of this thing. You let, like, as these things turn the corner, the liquid, like, pours out and dribbles into his mouth, and you cast this spell perfectly. As it, like, enters his mouth, when it's just out of sight, it turns to dust in Yaksha's mouth. The orbs slow. That's two successes and one failure.
Sorry, guys.
No, you guys are close. Natasha, what are you doing as you see the orbs no longer following you? Your friends are not following you. Boris is jumping on rooftops nearby. What do you do in this moment? There are a lot of surveillance cameras between here and the topiary.
Are we currently in like an alley where there aren't necessarily cameras?
Go and roll a perception check. I'm going to call this one of the checks. It'll be DC 12 to spot cameras.
Okay. So I was going to say, what I think I want my plan to be is to basically throw 22 up to Boris. And because Boris has snuck in and out of this village now twice.
Yes.
And basically what we had said, tell him to take 22 back to the boat. Which are you going to yell this to Boris? Skill set. You're right. All right, I'm going to roll a perception to see if there are cameras around, and then I'm going to try to talk to 22.
Good roll perception, DC 12.
It's a nat 20.
Nat 20. You poke your head out for a moment. You see the entire layout of cameras for this area. Until the topiary gardens, you have a full array of what the cameras are with a nat 20.
Amazing. I'm going to like duck behind something and pause for a quick second and turn to 22. Where will you be hiding?
I'll be in the topiary gardens. There's not a lot of surveillance there. There's no surveillance once you're inside. It's very confusing. It's a maze. It's easy to get lost, but I'll find you. I've been living in there for a while.
Would you rather go back to boat?
I mean, you tell me. What do you think is going to be safer? I've been very safe in the topiary gardens so far. Really, until you guys got here, I was doing okay. So
okay, well, there's no pointing fingers.
I am pointing fingers.
We are trying to help. We are on the same team. Okay, go to Topiary Garden. We have plan. We will come find you at midnight.
Okay. You see him. He starts to run out. You realize he's about to run directly into a camera.
Yeah, I grab him by the shirt collar, pull him back.
Make a dexterity saving throw, DC 15.
Oh, no.
Dexterity, I get advantage.
Okay.
So you said, what was the dex? Or what was the DC?
15.
15. All right, well, that's a 12. That doesn't count. I just dropped. Oh, no, it's a 13.
You see him run out. You reach out, grab him, knowing that he has been spotted. That is a second failure. You have two successes and two failures to complete this ruse. Flicking back over to Yaksha.
Can I, when I pull him back, be like, there are cameras. You go the other way.
What? You told me to go. You gave me no.
You were smart. This is we're doing.
Oh my God.
We start. Can I like scoop him again and start trying to go through like other alleys where I know the cameras like aren't following us?
You scoop him up and begin to go through the proper alleys, like waving to Boris using kind of like, you know, a sibling semaphore kind of thing, moving to where you guys need to go. Flicking back over to the deception being perpetrated by Yaksha and Sienny. You guys wait on the ground, standing. You're like on top of Yaksha disguised as 22. These orbs are just waiting around you as number two slowly walks up.
I see you. You've got very good, very good. What are your friends?
I lost them in the chase. I turned this corner. I got the jump on him and I just ran. I thought they were around me. Once I got him, I was like, guys, we did it. They weren't near. So I think we're all kind of chasing. We got lost in the alleyway, so we were all chasing him. So I was just lucky enough to be the one to grab him.
This is funny. I wouldn't have thought you were the one who would catch. I mean, you are kind of the slow one. That you're captain and her brother
Don,
are very athletic
Don,
and quick.
Oh, no, Don. No, I'm fully with you. No. It was like, you know, like in the, you know, like in the plays, like when you go see like a funny play and like the two people are walking and they accidentally don't see each other and they turn the corner and they hit each other and like all the papers fly up in the air. And it's like in the romantic comedy plays.
You're talking about the meat cute.
It was definitely a meet cute, but this was more pressing because then I got the bottle to his mouth as we were on the ground. We kind of did a little bit of wrestling, and I've done a little wrestling back in the day. So I definitely did it, and that's like where we're at now. I'm just as surprised as you. I was more of a swimmer back in the day rather than a runner. So.
You know, now that you say wrestling, I could see the wrestling flame in you. It's surprising. It's the legs. It's really the legs.
I got strong trunks.
Number two walks over to Yaksha disguised as 22, reaches down, grabs him by the scruff of the collar. Pulls him up with like one sunflowery arm to his feet.
I understand you might be nervous. Trust me, this would be painless.
He pushes his hand against your chest and goes to push you straight back into one of the orbs. Yaksha, do you allow him to push you into the orb?
We don't fucked up.
Yeah, Ryan, fucking kill me, dude. Fucking kill me. Do it. Do it. I let him do it. Yeah, let's have a death. I don't care anymore.
No, Yaksha.
No.
You let him push you in.
No.
You find yourself suspended momentarily in this green goop. You feel for a brief moment that's of some kind of acidic sting, but it immediately fades. As all of a sudden you're just suspended in there in the guise of number 22. Sienny, you see Yaksha disguised as 22 floating inside this green orb. I need Sienny. I need you to roll a deception check. This is going to be with advantage. Because Yaksha allowed this to happen, everything looks groovy for number two right now. This is going to be a DC... I'm going to call this DC 15.
The first one was great. So that would be a 23.
Oh, yeah.
As he pushes Yaksha into this orb, he briefly makes eye contact with Sienny. Sienny, your eyes stay directly on him rather than flicking in concern to your friend being pushed into this green tracker orb. His eyes, momentarily suspicious, blink, and he turns to the orb.
I really want to push him into the orb now. That I can't.
A moment that he turns back to the orb to give an instruction to the orb, his suspicion not on you. If you want to do it, you have literally a moment to do it.
What do we do? Table talk, what do we do? Do I do it?
Nope, no table talk. This, you got to decide right now, what do you do?
Oh my God.
What would it help? Wait, let me think about it for like 2 seconds.
Number 22 raised the pocket watch, preparing to click it.
What would it actually help? What would it actually be solving if I did it? I don't do it. No, the whole thing was to be deceptive. We have to be deceptive.
He clicks the pocket watch. He looks at the orbs, goes,
take him to the chamber.
The orbs descend into the ground with Yaksha still inside.
No.
And Yaksha, your vision goes black and you disappear underground. We'll come back to you in a moment. Sandy, number two, looks at you, goes,
when you catch up to your captain and the rest of her crew, please thank them for me. I look forward to your presence at the carnival tomorrow. You plan to attend, yes?
Oh, absolutely. With bells on, I'm already helping the bartender create some kind of earthy forward cocktails.
Oh, you're friends with 808?
Yes, 808 and I, we he made me a really great cocktail and we were talking about, I know you and the spider were talking about the fennel pollen. I'm a bit of a mixologist myself. But to that point, I was wondering, Don, 22 and I were getting to talk and I'm a bit of a man of letters myself. Could I, you know, go down to the chamber where they're being held? I was taking some notes. I was interviewing them. I kind of, at some point, would love to do the same with you, interviewing just for my own travels and my own studies, seeing where people's knowledge and my knowledge have kind of intersected, and was doing that with 22 before this whole kerfuffle. We were at the end of our interview before all this happened, and I, you know, was hoping that I could go down just 10 minutes of 22's time while in the chamber just to finish my notes would mean, as a scientist and you as a man of letters, I'm sure you understand an unfinished project is more than a thorn in the side. It's a spear.
I
complimented him. I complimented him. Brian, here's what I did. I complimented him. I talked about being a man of letters. I've fluffed him up. If I'm not rolling with quadruple advantage, then I quit.
Our next podcast is Sani's seduction techniques.
Yeah, I blacked out there for a minute. I don't know what I said.
You know what?
But
go ahead.
Not a thorn in the side, but a spear.
But a
that's
spear.
A quote.
That's a quote. You know, we got some, you know what? It's a quote.
We're gonna put that on a t-shirt.
Go ahead and roll me a persuasion check. I would have made you roll with disadvantage. Because that was such a good speech, I'll let you roll a straight roll. This is gonna be a DC 20.
Fucking hey, dude.
You can do it.
This is going to be a hard check.
You're going to get it.
My persuasion is a plus zero.
Excellent. You're going to get it.
You need a nat 20.
A nat 10.
Oh.
Number two looks at you and goes, I absolutely understand. As a scholar myself sometimes, I understand the need to complete the project. However, I think the chamber is not the best environment for such academic learnings. However, after I am done with number 22, it should not take very long. You are more than welcome to speak with him afterwards, and I would absolutely make myself available to you for any questions.
May I shadow you? I don't need to ask questions, but I think with the chamber and me and Don, between you and I think I hold a little more admiration for the village. And I'm kind of allowing myself to really acclimate here, to come down and just shadow. I won't ask questions. I'll be a fly on the wall. I will not be anything. But to go and just see your process again for my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, when one door closes, a window opens, and to see a window into this process would be, again, many hands make light work.
I'll let you because you're essentially trying to make the same check again. I will let you. You will not gain the advantage because so you will be rolling with disadvantage because the ask of shadowing him is a little less. I'll make it a DC 17.
You can do it.
Still persuasion.
I'll let you do persuasion or deception if you want.
Ooh, give me that deception. Ryan. That's gonna be a 19.
I hate to burst your bubble, but you have to roll with disadvantage.
Wait, no! You said straight roll the first time. No, Brian, don't make
that. I'm letting you roll Brian. The same thing again. No, no way you're rolling two straight rolls and getting a default advantage.
It's a 12, Brian. It's a 12. You got it.
Number two looks at you with a look that is very courteous, and he kind of leans in close, speaks in kind of a whisper, even though there's no one else around. He goes,
I don't mean to be rude, but I think a man of letters such as yourself should be a little more versed in when he is not wanted somewhere. Yes? I say this not to offend, only to educate.
The sex.
Well, you know, Don, you're right. I'll go help with the cocktails, and I won't get to see the chamber. And no, I agree. And I think a man of letters, as myself, also understands when they're not speaking to somebody who they thought was at their caliber.
Oh.
Don't
Don.
Noted. Noted, Don.
Number two looks at you. You see his hand kind of like grip his saber for a moment. Not threateningly, just kind of like gives it a check almost.
I am in your debt for the help with the fear wraiths and for capturing this imbalanced person. I would hate for all of that goodwill to be so quickly thrown away. So I will make my leave, hopefully preventing you from damaging your reputation any further. Adieu.
And he walks off.
Goodbye. That was tense. That's the most confrontational I've been in the last 10 years. Be it fake. Be it fake or real. That made me uncomfortable. And when I said that to Donna, I was like, I don't want him to be... That's not Noah, but I'm not playing, I guess. I'm playing Sienny, and I guess Sienny is a little bit of a bad boy.
He's a bad boy.
That's so true.
The bad boy professor.
I was walking away. I go, what?
What? What? What was that?
Why did you say my name?
I did not say your name. You said what? And then I responded by saying what?
Yeah, because you said my name. I thought you said you were done with the conversation.
No,
if you
no, I,
keep talking,
I was walking
we can
away.
We can keep talking.
Oh, no, no, I'm, no, I'm going this way.
I figured you were going that way, but then you said my name, but you said you were going to leave.
No, no, I didn't reputation. Say, I said adieu, and then I turned, I turned, and then I walked, and then no more words came from
and then you said
mouth.
My name. No, it's fine. No, Don, I'm happy to keep talking. I'm not angry at all. It just seems like you want to keep talking about it, and like...
I don't want to keep talking about it. This is, I'm delayed. You're delaying me now.
I'm not delaying. You're the one that started this. I'm happy to come with you if you want. It seems like you want me to come with you now.
No,
it seems like you're now regretting me saying I can't come.
You did two whole roles.
All right. Well, I guess. All right.
As he starts to walk away, you see one of the gemstones on the hilt of his sword glints for a moment. He looks down and goes, "Ah, oh, wonderful." And he presses his thumb to it until the gem shatters. The gem shatters.
Excuse me?
And all of a sudden you see a ball of yellow light pulse up towards his shoulder, momentarily glow, like almost like a sunburst. And then you see a little bee buzzing around his head. And you see he puts his hand up. The bee lands on his hand. He goes, ah, 3-3. Very good to see you. And he walks away. 3-3 buzzes around his head happily.
Oh my god.
And he vanishes off towards town hall.
Fucking 3-3.
Natasha, as you move through the town, do you drop off number 22 in the topiary or do you stay with him?
We already have plans to meet at midnight. And I feel like 22 has been pretty good about keeping a low profile. So yeah, I drop him off in the topiary.
I will just remind you of something from a previous episode. Because you rolled a nat 20 on an intimidation check before, you have advantage on all intimidation checks on him in perpetuity.
Oh, that's right. I feel like I should use that. I guess I'm going to run into the topiary with him and like get somewhere in like bushes where I feel like we have good cover or whatever, drop him off, and then going to clap both hands on his shoulders, look at him and say, "We will see you at midnight." Yes.
Go ahead and roll an intimidation check with advantage, because you have advantage in perpetuity against number 22.
Okay. That's a 19. And then that is a 17.
You clap your hands on his shoulders. You tower. I mean, he's a halfling. You towering over him. You've got your big meaty paws, claws extending just a little bit, just to just let him know you're there.
So that he knows they're there.
Listen, if you know where the brass ring is or a token of any kind is, hey, I got no reason to hide from you now, okay? Meet me at midnight. Get your people, bring the ring. Very excited to get out of here.
Okay, we will see you at midnight.
He moves back to a topiary of one of the, like, a lion with, like, a sunflower mane. He moves a couple of the sunflower petals, and you see there is, like, a... for lack of a better term, like a small room made out of bushes and brambles and things that he has kind of like constructed for himself. He moves in there, lets the sunflower petals like close behind him, and he is gone in this room.
Natasha is gonna like signal to Boris and say, okay, we'll run around opposite sides and then we do like a like fake crash into each other and pretend we have lost 22. Does this sound like good plan? Yes, it is good plan. Why am I asking? We do this. Okay, you got it.
Well, I had some notes. Oh, okay, okay.
We revisit notes. There's no time for no notes. We run in opposite.
It's always bad. Second draft's, first draft's always bad. you guys spin around, making a meal of it for the cameras, bang into each other, like in the middle of town square. A bunch of people look around like, oh, okay. You guys ran directly. There was tons of room, and you ran right into each other.
Can I do a contested check against Boris to see if I can knock him down in our crash, but I stay standing?
Yes.
Natasha's like, if we're gonna make a scene, I'm gonna have some fun with it.
Go ahead and roll a strength check. He's gonna roll with acrobatics to oppose it. Right. He's got a plus +8. Strength. He roll. Go ahead and roll.
She didn't roll great. She rolled a 4, which makes it it's not a saving throw, right?
No.
So that's an 8.
He rolled a natural 1. So he would have had a plus +8 on athletics. So
he would have beaten me if you guys even rolled a 2.
You guys run towards each other. He sees that sisterly like bullshit glint in your eye, and he goes to crouch down, like almost like spreads his legs to do like a weird, like essentially like to try to like nutmeg you, like dive between your legs, and accidentally like hits a bit of mud and then does a full split, tears the center of his pants, and you bash into him. It's very wacky. It's super, super wacky. You have drawn everyone's attention. Everyone is very concerned about what happened, but you have, for the most part, eluded suspicion, as far as you can tell.
I hope Boris up in the end. I said, very good performance, Boris. Now we go find the others.
Yep. Okay. Oh, God.
And I think they're just going to try to like do that jog where you're like, we got to hustle, but like, we also don't know where we're going. And so they're like trotting around town trying to find either. We know the plan was that Yaksha was supposed to turn into 22. So I guess we're looking for 2 or Sienny.
So you start moving back through the town. You hear Boris just like, oh my God, this is the first time I've ever wished I got fixed. Okay. move through the town, eventually find Sienny. Sienny, you run into Natasha and Boris. Gilly kind of like scrambles back with you guys as well. She had like taken a different path.
How did the plan go?
I think I helped, but also didn't.
What does this mean?
So the plan went great, but then Yaksha got thrown into an orb and is now in a place called the Chamber. I tried to get to the Chamber, you know, and like help the best I could. And I was like trying to be like, oh, I'm a scientist. Let me go interview R22 Yaksha, and just so I could be closer to him and help him. And the vibes were just off. Me and number 2 got real catty with each other, and I didn't like it. I don't usually get catty.
Sienny, yes, this does not feel like it is true to you.
Oh, I didn't wear it well. I promise you that. It felt
Does number 2 still thinks that Yaksha is 22, yes?
Yeah, so everything, we still have the advantage of Yaksha being in disguise still in deep cover.
And where did Yaksha go?
That's the thing. I don't know where the chamber is. I don't know if it's back where the beholder is. Is that what the chamber is? I don't know necessarily where this is or how to get there. I could wild shape again into something tiny and kind of be quite literally possibly a fly on the wall and follow 22 or follow number 2 to see where 22 is and then relay that information back. That's kind of like the biggest plan in my mind right now, because I don't know where this chamber is.
And we haven't learned anything from like the notebooks or the blueprints or anything that would suggest, like, we haven't heard of the chamber before, have we?
Go and roll a insight check.
May I do as well?
Yeah, you can roll as well.
Okay.
I got a 10.
Nat one, let's go. definitely have heard of the word.
you've definitely heard of the word, but Sieni's mostly focused on his slightly uncomfortable encounter with number two. And like you're just replaying it in your head, like how you could have said it better.
It's just like, like I'm not mad. It's just like he was being combative. I don't know. Everyone has bad days. You got to put yourself in their shoes.
Natasha with the 10. What you don't know is you don't know if the chamber is like a place you haven't been. You don't know if they were referring to number two's office, essentially, that you had just been in. Mm-hmm. You don't know if it's referring to the Arcanus Oubliette. Really, with a 10, you're not sure. The only thing you know is that Sieni told you that he was walking back towards Town Hall.
I have idea. Boris can give notes. After
he doesn't even hear this bit, he's still just holding onto his testicles.
So you see, he's walking to Town Hall. We will hustle over to Town Hall. You turn into small animal and go in and see if you can find out what is happening to Yaksha. And meanwhile, we will meander around Carousel, see what they say vibe is.
Natasha,
well, I told you, don't say vibe. You can't pull it off.
This is
it,
Boris,
not with that accent. You can't pull it off.
No,
I'm
Boris,
sorry.
The response is no, go off queen. And she's slaying it.
No, you can do that. Natasha couldn't off queen.
Natasha,
she couldn't do it.
Natasha, do you think I can say vibe?
I guess Gilly and Boris have never heard of a girl boss before.
Gilly, this hurts my feeling. The only one.
Okay, we do not have time. And so Natasha starts again doing that sort of like jog where it's like, I look casual, but I'm also hustling.
You guys start heading towards Town Hall. Sieni, do you turn into a fly or some kind of small thing?
How small can I go? I'll do a fly.
You can turn into a fly.
Quite literally be a fly on the wall.
For full disclosure on being a fly, you can totally do it. You'll have one hit point. So should anything happen to you, you'll get hit. You won't die, but you'll poof back into being Sieni.
Do bees have more hit points?
No, bees also have one hit point.
What about fleas?
They all have one hit point.
What
they
about
are
trees?
Bugs.
What about geese?
Geese have infinite hit points and always hit and do 1,000 piercing damage. Yeah. Geese are not to be fucked with in this world.
But you have to justify why a goose is in the room.
You'd for sure be attacked if you were a goose.
Yeah, everyone would be like, get that goose out of here.
Yeah, but you do 1,000 piercing damage every time, so you could just plow through and get on over to the beholder, and we're fine.
We're fine. Also, I love Get That Goose Out of Here is the name of the game show in this universe.
Get that goose out of here.
We got two people coming in again to win their money and try to say it with
people
me.
Like shooing geese with a little tea towel being like, bye, leave.
Go on, get, no. Leave.
Get.
No. No, you're not allowed in this tea shop. I'll wild shape into a fly and save the goose for another day.
You wild shape into a fly, like as you kind of like pass through some buildings, you're flying next to Natasha. Natasha, Gilly, and Boris kind of peel off, power walking with purpose towards the carousel that is currently like covered in like a brown tarp. There's a big sign above it that says Grand Reopening, and it's like big, you know, carnival-y letters. You hear the band is still like practicing tuning. They're sounding pretty good. They're getting ready for tomorrow. Conductor is kind of like giving them some shit for different things they're getting wrong. And there's a hustle and bustle all around you as people are setting up stalls and games. And there's like the Fabio guy who broke all the fish bowls has found more fish bowls. But it's noticeably like the table is too big for how many fish bowls he has now. Like it was supposed to be a lot bigger of a game. Sieni, you fly into the town hall as like number 10 is like catching up to number 2, opens the door. You get a moment to fly in. You look and you see number 10 is walking around the hall. You see number 2's office is kind of straight ahead. You look over to the right and like down some stairs, you know where number 25's office was, where you guys first got registered for the village. And then there are stairs going up, like this kind of like not spiral staircase, but like, you know, like on the Titanic, you know, two staircases on either side going up to like an upper balcony type thing with like a big wooden double door there. You see within number 2's chamber, there's a bunch of screens and appears to be a door off of that chamber. What are you looking for? Where are you trying to go?
Can I look around to see if there's anything that feels inherently closed off from the like normal foot traffic of the area? Like when, you know, when you go into like a museum and they like don't enter this area, anything that feels lightly like, okay, this is where potential people are being held or where like kind of the employee's entrance of it all.
Yeah, go ahead and roll an investigation check.
Ooh, 19.
You buzz around. You see number 10 is moving around, kind of like walking around number 2's office, kind of like pressing a bunch of different buttons, looking at the various screens that seem to be a massive surveillance system. You see there are a few other numbered people kind of like walking around, monitoring these screens as well. You look up, the double doors up the stairs appear to be locked, but also don't appear to be used very often. Like they look almost like ceremonial in a sense. Like they're very ornate, and there's like a little bit of dust on the handles that kind of tells you these aren't open very often. With a 19, though, you scan the floor and you see the like flowery footprints of number 2 moving into his office. He'd like tracked up some mud a little bit. They go into his office, kind of go up that little like bridge to the like that's kind of like elevated in the center of it, of this circular room, and then they disappear.
Go into the circular room and then disappear.
So his office is a big circular white room. There's monitors all around it. And there's kind of like this in the center, like a bridge that kind of goes up almost like an observatory so you can better see all these screens.
Mm-hmm.
The footsteps clearly walk up there, go to like the center of this observatory, and then disappear. Like there's no footsteps that are coming back down.
All right, so I need to go to this. I want to go immediately to the center of this observatory.
You bzzz straight up there. As you get up there and like start looking around more curiously, you see one of the footprints is in fact like cut in half. Like you're only seeing the back end of a footprint. And so it's almost like there's two plates or two like stones, essentially. One of the stone has half a footprint. The other one is clean.
Hmm. And does it look like he like there's like some kind of elevator mechanism, or is it like he has crossed through some sort of threshold that is like unseen, cannot be seen by like the naked eye?
It looks like there's a seam in the floor.
Hmm. Can I land that? Like it must be weighted. I don't like how do I can I do an investigation to see like do I have the mental fortitude to try and open this by myself?
Yeah, I'd say either an investigation or I'll let you do a perception as well if you want. You can do either.
Ooh, a dirty 20.
Dirty 20. You would guess, like, he's a pretty... You know that, like, there are different number 2s and they all have, like, very different weights. Like, Don Trax is a little sunflower man. The former number 2 was, like, this huge... Or this, like, kind of beefy dwarf. But all around this observatory, there is a console with like a bunch of different buttons. A lot of them control like the screens, but you're guessing one of them controls this, whatever mechanism this leads down to. And I'll say with a 20, you see a small kind of out of the way button. Actually, you know what? As a fly, you're like flying around. You're looking at all these various buttons. A lot of them have been pressed a whole bunch. You kind of get a sense that some of them are like this one's for this screen, this one's for this screen. As you're flying around, because you're like a fly, you go closer to inspect this seam. And as you fly back up to the console, you see underneath the console, there is a small switch.
I ditch my wild form, but like as incognito as I can be, I'll ditch my wild form.
Number 10 is still in the room.
Oh, crap.
She's not necessarily looking at like you're in the center of the room. She's looking at the screens all on the outside of the room. But she's in the room.
Yeah, but like I can't pull the switch as a fly though, right?
You could certainly try. You'd basically have to roll very high.
Yeah, so I think I think I just got to go incognito.
Just get some flies momentum and thrust your whole fly body into it. Take that 1 point of damage.
And then just turn back into a human.
And then just run up the stairs. I don't know.
Because I do not want to waste this wild shape. Because it would be nice to have once I go in there. But damn, like, I don't think I can do it.
Can I table talk help with an idea? Or Sienny, do you want to do this solo?
No. I'm kind of damned if I do, damned if I don't right now.
Okay, because I was going to say, as a fly, maybe start, like, flying around, like, get number 10's attention and start, like, flying around her so that she starts trying to swat at you and then land on the switch. So she goes to, like, hit you, will hit the switch, and then you boogie out over to the door.
That's so smart. That's the smartest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Yes. That's what we're doing. Thank you so much, Natasha. Yes, I'm annoying them. Well, I even like the idea of, like, annoy her enough, even if she doesn't do all that.
Or that she leaves to like, go get...
Leaves.
Literally bug her.
So what I'm going to do for this, if she hits you, that's going to be 1 point of damage.
I forgot about this risk.
So there's a risk to it. The check will be easier the more danger you put yourself in, essentially. So the more you commit to it, the easier it'll be. But if you fail, you will just, the ruse will be up. So how are you kind of buzzing near her head and kind of like going in, going out?
I'm landing on her lip. If she wants to smack me, she's going to have to commit and potentially smack herself in the face. That's how I'm getting her attention. Welcome to the Thunderdome. I'm a fly. Nice to meet you.
She is like staring a little bit slack-jawed. She's just like watching the monitors in that kind of just like, you know, dead-eye way that you watch screens. You land on like the inside of her lip and like begin to crawl around her teeth. Her tongue just kind of like naturally grazes you. You hear her go... She like spits you out and goes to swing at you. This is going to be a, what is this going to be? An annoy check. I'll call this, you tell me, do you want this to be a performance, persuasion?
I would like this to be neither performance nor persuasion.
Deception.
I'll let you make it a nature check.
What about deception? Yeah, deception.
I'll let you do deception. Sure.
I like deception. Let's do deception.
Okay, oh wait, before you roll, I'll say this is a DC, because you're putting yourself in extreme danger, this is going to be a DC 10. So pretty easy check, but if you fail, she will hit you and you will revert to normal.
Is it bad that I think that'd be really funny if it happened?
Oh, it's a 9.
No!
With your modifier? What's your modifier?
A 4.
My God, no.
For a deception, if it's a 10, hi, welcome.
Oh, you dedicate yourself fully. You are fully in her mouth. She coughs
that
you up.
That should be a DC 5, Brian. He went in her mouth. What if she swallowed him?
Then he would have came back to Sienny form inside of her, and you would have, you know, finished
that's what
that
I should have done. I should have just killed her.
You get spat out by her. She like just kind of unconsciously bats at you while she like kind of like paws at her own tongue. She hits you. You spiral off in your B form, slam into one of the screens. You feel that one hit point vanish and you back into Sienny form and slam down onto the ground, like onto the console. A bunch of the TVs like go haywire as you hit a bunch of buttons. Number 10 looks and goes, Whoa, you're not supposed to be in here. This is number 2's office. Why don't we get you out of here? Come on, let's get you out of here.
Where am I? Where am I?
This is gonna sound strange. You were in my mouth. And you were a fly. I think. Yeah, I don't know. But listen, I'm gonna take you to the doctor.
I pass out.
You fall down on the ground. She goes, "Oh my god!" Okay,
I start convulsing. I like sell it. Like I sell it.
Go and make a performance check to try to get her to like leave the room to find someone.
A 2.
Fuck. She looks down at you and like she looks and goes, "Oh my god, there's no time. Okay. Number 10, you can do this. You can do this." She goes down and just starts giving you like chest compressions, but way wrong. It's just, you know.
She's giving me chest compression. What can I do? I'm trying to get her to leave. 808 has my medicine.
Staying alive. Staying alive. Please, please. Just stay alive.
808 has my medicine. Get 808. He has my medicine.
Go ahead and roll a deception check. I'm going to say DC 15.
Are you sure about that, DC?
What'd you roll? What'd you roll?
A 13.
Okay, 13.
13, bro.
13. You're not failing by a lot. She looks down at you. Number six, come here. She beckons for someone else. Someone else runs through. She goes, number six, go go find 808. He has medicine for
I'm for not this bringing one. Too many people in here.
Okay, and you go get the medicine. We'll meet you in the middle. And she starts picking you up and like trying to drag you out of there.
I let her do it, and then when I get to the door, could I do some kind of fancy footwork to, be lax in her arms and get her used to my weight, like, as if I'm ill, and then as soon as we get to the door, do some kind of fancy footwork to push her away, lock the door, go down to the chamber.
Absolutely. I'll say with your previous investigation checks, you look over, you see a big button on the door. You're almost positive that that will close and lock the door. So I'm going to give you that for free. All you have to do is beat her on a contested roll. You lose all of your weight into her. She's like desperately pulling you. She's like an elven woman. She's a strong woman, but you are her size. She's having a bit of trouble, but she's pulling you by the armpits in this kind of like weird fireman's carry thing. Don't worry, sir. It's going to be fine. Go ahead and I'll let you choose. You can make a strength check to like push her. You can make an acrobatics check.
I'll do strength. Yep.
Okay. So you push her out of the way.
Ooh. Okay. Hi. 21.
Yeah.
21. Hell yeah. You give your full weight to her. She's pulling you back. Right as you get to the door, you all of a sudden catch your feet, spin around, put your hands on her chest, push her back. And you slam the button on the door. She stumbles back, looks at you, clocks your deception, and is going to reach forward and try to get her hand in to press the button. Because you gave with a 21, that's a big push. She's going to be rolling with disadvantage for a DC 15. She is not super dexterous. She's going to have a +3 to this roll.
Oh, man.
With disadvantage. That is a 14, a natural 14 +3 for 17.
No.
And a 9 +3 for 12.
Yeah.
Yes, she reaches forward. And as she does, the door is slamming quickly. Rather than go forward and risk it, she pulls her hand back the last second. The door slams shut. You run up the thing, flick the secret switch on the bottom of the console, and then run down the stairs into darkness.
We're gonna save Yaksha.
We move over to Yaksha.
Hell yeah.
Yaksha, you are being moved through darkness, but you feel it's an incredibly strange sensation that you know that you're being moved through solid objects, and you kind of have a sense of that. You're not taking any damage, you're not being hurt, but it's a strange sensation to feel matter passing through you. And you're kind of like moving through what appears to be ground and then walls and then cement and then dirt. And then you all of a sudden find yourself in a space. The strange gelatinous ooze that was keeping you inside of itself all of a sudden disappears. You momentarily like blink, get yourself adjusted to this. As a Gloomstalker, you know you are very comfortable in the darkness. You find yourself sitting on a small metal chair, darkness surrounding you.
Am I tied to the chair?
No, you're just sitting in the chair.
Oh, okay. Is there like a door anywhere?
In front of you, there is a stairwell leading up, and there appears to be a door at the top.
Is the door locked? Can I go and check if the door's locked?
You stand up from this chair, you begin to walk forward, and from behind you, you hear the voice of number two.
I don't know if you know the role that number two plays in the village.
As he says that, he begins to like strafe around to cut you off from the door. Do you wait or do you try to book it for the door?
I try and book it for the door.
You book it straight up for the door. You grab the handle. It is locked.
Number two traditionally has been responsible for the care of the village, the care of the static. You understand the importance of this job, no?
And I'm 22, right? I totally get it. It's, listen, man, I took the drink. I'm really sorry. Just let me go.
Oh, I have no intention of keeping you here. Maybe I've been unclear in my intentions. You don't know this yet, but you are very sick. And when you are very sick, you make the weave very sick. You understand?
No.
Imagine yourself getting sick. You know how this feels. You know, do you know how sickness spreads? It is a germ. It is an infection, yes?
Yeah.
A foreign body enters your body, and you have an immune system, yes? This immune system fights against these foreign invaders. And there are many ways that a body can deal with foreign invaders, yes? They could quarantine this thing that is coming in and causing mayhem, or they can destroy it.
So you're quarantining me, right? You're not gonna kill me.
That is up to you.
What do you?
I very much prefer the method of quarantine. It is easier to prevent an outbreak, to prevent an infection from getting worse. But by coming into the static, by coming into the village and inviting Dread into this place, you are making the weave very sick. It is my job to keep it healthy.
Is anybody else here? Can anybody else hear this guy and the things he's saying? Hello? Anybody else?
Sienny, go ahead and roll a perception check.
Perception is a 26.
Running down through the darkness of the staircase, you don't hear anything.
On a 26?
Excuse me, Brian?
On a 26, you don't hear anything.
26 misses? Cool.
I went the wrong way.
No one responds to me then, right?
No one responds.
Okay.
Number 22.
Brian is actively trying to get us to be separate right now. He's doing the horror movie
this is
thing.
Hilarious.
We fell into his trap.
This is hilarious.
We did exactly what he wanted.
I hate this so much.
This is like the exact horror movie trope. Everyone's going to be listening going, "Don't do that." And we did absolutely everything we shouldn't have done. We split up. We're all in separate areas that are all scary and gross. I hate this.
Okay, cool.
Go on, Brian. Yeah, 26. I didn't hear him. Yeah. Go on. I don't kill me. Amazing. Cut my head off. I don't care.
This is great.
I'm totally. There's no monsters, outside guarding this thing, or this is not a prison of some sort.
No, you're not in a prison at all. This is more. Think of it as a hospital. You don't know it yet.
This is your hospital?
You're very sick. This is all of the medicine you need.
And he pulls out a vial of joy.
Yeah, I'll take it. But I just got a couple questions. If I didn't take this, you're telling me this entire place would just blow up or something?
If fear infects a body too much, it can become a dread. A dread consumes the body, it can come up. You think those fear wraiths were difficult or terrifying? You've not encountered a dread. If your fear takes hold, it takes root deep. It is very difficult to excise a dread from a body. Not only that, but once dread takes hold in the village, it can very quickly spiral out of control. We've had it happen before. I don't want it to happen again.
What happened when it happened that time?
He recounts a couple of like instances from the recent past in number two's, you know, kind of expansive mind. And you are recognizing that the times that he is like kind of tossing out like 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 250 years ago, 700 years ago, are times that are coinciding with eras of great turbulence in the material plane. This does not just affect you. The weave moves through everything. You have found yourself in a very important entity. The weave is a living being as such. We must protect it as best we can because it exists in everything.
Yep, okay, I'm sold. Give me that joy and I'll take that. And I pound it down.
You take the joy, pound it down. As you do, you feel that familiar tingly sensation all about you. This is your second vial of joy, correct?
Yeah.
As you take it, you feel a small, almost like glitch in your body. You feel almost like you move outside of yourself for a moment and then pull back in. You feel a strange humming. It still feels good. There's still that positive feeling emanating through you, but you feel for a moment outside yourself, gone. You see yourself like, you're literally like almost looking down at yourself, and then you get thrust back into your body. In that moment, it kind of feels very much like a nightmare in that way that you're seeing yourself and being unable to control yourself, even but for a moment. Yaksha, is this a time where you would roll your fear dice?
Yeah, Yaksha's a big baby.
Because you've failed one fear dice throw, you're now down to a D8. Go ahead and roll a D8.
Shut up, no. Bro.
Just don't want to roll a 1.
That's a 7.
You steal your mind here. Number 2 kind of looks at you, places a very calm hand on your shoulder and goes, "Do you feel better now?"
Thanks, I guess, guy. Can I leave now? We good? We friends?
Absolutely. We are always friends. I am... Number 2 is here to serve the village. You must understand. I'm not a bad guy.
Sounds like something a bad guy would say.
He turns around. He clicks his fingers and the door unlocks and the door opens up.
You're like, hey, it was great chatting. I'm gonna run. I'm just gonna go hang out, do some village stuff. You know, nothing. Yep, just gonna be a normal villager now. Later, skater. And then I run the fuck out of there.
You book it on out of there. You come straight up out of this tunnel. Yaksha, you begin to run up these stairs. Number 2 kind of jogs up behind you. And as you guys come up, you emerge into the office of number 25. You kind of go up one of these side stairwells, and you are back in the main entranceway of Town Hall. Number 2 kind of turns to the right, going towards his office. He sees number 10 like banging on the door, trying to get in. He goes, "What are you doing?"
Someone went down. Someone like, I don't know, he was a fly, and then
step aside. He moves to the side and clicks a couple buttons. The door opens up. He sees the like elevator door essentially open up.
Would you, number 10, were you going to see number 1?
Sienna, you booking it down the stairs with a 26, you hear the echoing of your footsteps all around you. Ding, 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 ding. All of a sudden you realize there's a room in front of you and you see light in front of you beginning to emerge. You run down the stairs into a dimly lit room, stone all around. And as you run forward, you see the massive mirrored face of this automaton that you recognize as number 1. You see the head momentarily looks down to you and you see your reflection in it. Sandy, I need you to roll your fear dice. I need you to roll it 5 times.
Oh, mother my trucker. God.
Mother trucker.
5 times.
All right. 5 times. D8. All right. 2.
Okay.
3.
Okay.
6.
Okay.
7.
No.
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 No. No, Noah, no.
One.
No. No.
You look into the concave mirrored face of number one. You see your reflection inverted. And as you see that reflection, you all of a sudden see apparitions and hallucinations of things moving about you. Fears that you had forgotten, fears that you had remembered, they soar around you and into you, and then... you find yourself looking at the room from the other direction, but the room's inverted. You see the stairwell where you just came out, but you were facing the other way. And it takes you a moment to realize you're looking at the room from the perspective of the mirror.
No!
Did he go into the mirror?
You hear a voice circling around in your head. Not even a voice, not even a consciousness, just a force that speaks to you in language, in sensation, in feeling.
Hello, Sienny. It is good to meet you. I have some questions for you. I hope you can help me to answer them.
Yeah, same.
And that's where we'll end for this episode.
And no!
Bullshit, man. That's bullshit.
Oh, my God.
Come on.
Goddamn horseshit.
Oh, my God.
Ay, ay, ay. We were rolling so well. That was the last roll.
Oh, rolled
so well.
And I will say, I was, like, doing this in my hands, and it, like, I did not release it. It just kind of, like...
fell.
Poofed out, and it rolled, and it landed on one. I was like, I gotta be honest.
I hate it.
Goddamn roll.
I hate it.
I hate this game.
Damn.
I hate this game.
It's so scary. It's getting scarier.
It's so dumb. This is so dumb.
I keep reminding myself that Tasha's just up at a carousel. She's not in a carousel. She's literally just walking, which realistically is not a place that Natasha enjoys necessarily being, but she's out in the daylight. There's
also
a fun band.
Just to put this out there, Yaksha has no more spell slots. He's used every single spell.
Oh yeah, I've needed a long rest.
Oh yeah, I need one desperately.
If we need to save you, dude, I'm sorry, Sandy. You're fucked. You're fucked. I gotta go sleep for 8 hours before I save you.
I'm literally gone.
We're just gonna go pound 1,000 of Boris's dumplings. Get our health up at least.
I've been dead. Like,
oh my God.
No, this is chaos.
If
chaos
we
reigns
have to
right now.
Fight Sienny as number one, I might cry. No.
If
but
I
I'll
become
be
this entity.
Oh my God.
Ryan, what have you done?
We'll certainly find out next time.
There's like 50 episodes of the season. God damn it.
Tune in next time, everybody. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.